Chapter 14, Tinky Winky Dough and WD-40. Because of good writing, the ketchup that caught Chip's eye happened to be on the silver button. And as his tongue licked the ketchup, it jiggled the silver button loose. I wish I could say there was a dramatic noise and then shaking and then an explosion that Sally and Chip heroically ran from just in time. And maybe a car was nearby and the gas tank caught fire and exploded. Then the only bridge that the enemy could use to attack also exploded, saving the entire village from invasion. And then the dragon that had been terrorizing the village was found to have a missing scale, and Sally shot an arrow through it, and it died, cursing all things morally good under its foul breath. And then the dragon's treasure was taken from its lair and distributed among the poor of the kingdom. I wish I could say all this, but the truth was much less dramatic. When Chip licked the silver button, the button came loose, and the machine stopped.
You shouldn't be sleeping.
Let's see, the truth was much less dramatic. When Chip licked the silver button, the button came loose and the machine stopped. No explosions, no earthquakes, no dragons, no sharks. It just stopped. It turned off, stopped making noise, and stopped making trouble, just like that.
Did we come back?
No. From inside of her cheese ball, sharp cheddar, Billy would have thought. Sally could tell something changed. As the last of the giant food settled into place, silence took over the neighborhood. Sally waited for something to happen, but all she could hear was Chip licking up the ketchup. Sally sat in Professor Kookie's laboratory, sipping what was supposed to be tea. Hot water, no tea bag. Outside, the neighbors gathered together to sort out the wreckage. Chip had dragged in a large piece of undercooked bacon and was gnawing at it happily. The professor was fiddling with the GGFM.
What does GGFM stand for?
Great good food machine.
Oh, yeah.
But remember, Billy had some other options for it.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they were, though.
GGFM.
Let's see. His suggestions were... I can't remember. Let's see. Stopping to look at Sally, he said, I don't understand what happened. It could have been the calibrator or the microprocessing power board. Or maybe the buttons needed WD-40. Either way, it should work now. Sally wasn't sure she ever wanted it to work again. Professor, is there any way to get Billy back?
Well, we could change him into his natural state using the GGFM. But how do we know where he is?
In a moment of perfect timing, a blob of frosty pudding walked in. A Slim Jim was sticking out of each side, waving as if they were arms. A pretzel and a candy cane were the legs it walked on. Two raisins made the eyes. One used to be a bug. A roll of sushi stuck out where the nose should be. A sprinkled smile stretched across the blob.
I like being an ice cream cone better, he said, although it is useful having arms.
Billy! Sally rushed over and gave him a big hug, which she immediately regretted. If you've ever hugged a blob of frosty pudding, then you know why. It's a frosting and pudding together. Frosty pudding. The cleanup took several weeks. People from around the country came to see the incredible food city, as it was nicknamed. The tourists could not imagine the size of the oven that must have cooked this food, nor the cost of the ingredients. When Billy and Sally tried to explain the real source of the food, the adults would laugh and say something like, that's a cute story. Kids come up with the cutest story sometimes. The most difficult part to explain was the car-sized cat made out of cookie dough. The lady in the yellow dress was shocked when the cat was found under a giant orange slice. That shock turned into uncontrollable tears. After the tears came a stage of acceptance. During the cleanup, she was often seen walking or sometimes riding her cat through Food City, letting Tink feed on the enormous foodstuffs. Mm-hmm. The cat. Can you imagine if she had to buy cat food? When Professor Kookie offered to change the cat back to normal, she declined politely, saying that she had come to like her new Tinky Winky. Mr. and Mrs. Smith were a little bit surprised when they returned home for the first evening. Billy and Sally's parents. Mr. Smith's first words were, "It's not a garbage disposal, people." Mostly they took it in stride, though. But if Mrs. Smith had seen Billy as an ice cream cone or a frosty pudding blob, she probably would have lost it. Don't tell Billy I told you this, but he collected a huge stockpile of food. His mom wondered why everything in both of his closets had and under his bed had been put into a pile in the middle of the room. He needed those spaces to hide the food. Incredibly, he was able to keep this a secret until he'd eaten it all. Sally spent hours each day examining the food and writing notes and making lists. The list she was working on about the buttons was nowhere to be found. My guess is that it was turned into a rice cake. After all this, Billy became a little more thoughtful and a little less impulsive. Being transformed into an ice cream cone makes you think twice before pressing buttons. Sally became a little bit more open to crazy ideas. As a memento, she had the cracked pistachio shell hanging in her room. The pickle shield was eaten by the cat, and the Dorito sword was eaten by Billy. As for Professor Cookie and Chocolate Chip, they continued their life as usual, as if the results of the crazy experiment were all part of the plan. In the weeks after the food incident, Professor Cookie tested several different contraptions to help with the cleanup, and nothing worked. As for the whereabouts of the Great Good Food Machine itself, the children never got a straight answer from the professor, although it wasn't easy to get a straight answer from him about anything. Who knows? Maybe it was destroyed after it malfunctioned. Or maybe it was collecting dust in the lab. Or maybe it was sitting on a beach somewhere in South America, sipping tea. The kids thought they heard Professor Kooky muttering something about repurposing it, but they couldn't be sure. As for this story, we're nearing the end. Because of the author's vivid descriptions and thrilling action sequences, you have enjoyed this book very much. It was your favorite book, and you will tell all your friends about it. Until you read my next book, this is the end. And about the author, Ramen Pepperoni is an author, as you have no doubt already concluded since you've just read his book. He lives with other people in a place, writing things. And then a couple endorsements, you know what those are? So, things, good things people said about the book. What is this book even about? I'm not sure. I wouldn't recommend it, though. It doesn't seem that great. Look at the cover. See what I mean? One word. Cheap and lazy. I bet the story's not that great either. You can usually tell by the cover. That was by someone named Douglas. It's really good. That's what Mrs. Pepperoni said. Someone else said, full of typos and incoherent prose, this book is the epitome of poorly executed self-publishing. And that was said by, it doesn't matter who said this, because they probably changed their mind.